Acts chapter 10. There are times when I preach sermons and I'm loud and wild. There are times, when I help us bear our burdens. Today, I'm going to talk to you for a while and I'm going to tell you some things. What I'll teach you today, to me, it is just one of the foundational purposes of the Christian life. Acts chapter 10, I want you to find it. And once you find Acts 10, would you please stand with me? Acts chapter 10, while you're standing, find verse number 34. Acts chapter 10, verse number 34, and I'm going to read it out loud, and then you can follow along silently. The Bible says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good.'" And that's the name of my sermon this morning. He went about doing good. That's the Christian life. We're to go about doing good. Father, bless us now. Oh, the sermon is so simple and yet so important, so extremely important to the Christian life. May we leave here today with a passion to be like Jesus, who went about doing good. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, there is a command for you and I. We're to be good. And then we are to do good. There are some who, they behave, but then they never go out and do much good. So they're clean, but they don't accomplish much with their cleanness. I would recommend to everybody here that you not only be good as a Christian, but you do good as a Christian. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, Peter is preaching in the house of Cornelius, and he is describing the daily routine of Jesus Christ. And he said he went about doing good. What a testimony. If you could stand before God someday at the judgment seat of Christ, and God could look down and say, "You did good. You went about doing good in your life," I think it would be worth it all. It would be worth it all. Oh, Jesus was born doing good. He brought joy to the poor at the time of his birth. I think the shepherds that were a part of that process of Jesus coming to earth, I think he brought joy to those shepherds. And I think Jesus brought joy to Mary and to Joseph and to a world that didn't even totally understand what Jesus was and who he was. His birth brought good. Even in birth, Jesus was doing good. He lived 33 and a half sinless years, and he went about doing good. Have you ever noticed? He'd come across someone that's blind. And he wasn't just good in their presence. He did good unto them. He came across a blind man, and he didn't just stand there and say, "I'm perfect. I am sinless. I am the Son of God." You know what he did with the blind man? He gave him his sight. He found a lame man, and he was not just clean in his presence. He made the lame man walk. He came across a leper, diseased. Jesus was pure. And Jesus was holy. And Jesus was clean. Which is all good. But he wasn't just being good. He was doing good. And he cleansed the leper of his illness. He met someone that was lonely, but he did good unto the lonely. He met the children, and he calmed the storm. He wasn't in the storm being good. He was in the storm doing good for other people. In 1902, a poem that turned into a song was written. Quote it to myself all the time. I may quote a portion of it to myself every day of my life. It says, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Yes, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I might live like Thee. The Christian life is not a self-centered life. The Christian life is all about others. The Christian life is summed up. If I could do a study with you about Christ, and we could start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation, and we could look at all the ways Jesus is mentioned in the Bible. But really, if you put pressure on me and you said, Brother Owens, you've got to describe Jesus, and I'd like for you to describe Him in a sentence, I'd be hard-pressed to give anything better than this. He went about doing good. Don't let the Christian life become too complicated, Christian. Say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? You need to go about doing good. Jesus died doing good. He was not just pure while He hung on the cross. He took the time to win somebody to Jesus on the cross. He was up there reaching people and helping people all the way to the grave. Then He arose from the grave. Clean? Sure. Holy? Yes. But helping and encouraging people, even at the moment that He was being resurrected from the dead, He was not just in their presence as holy, He was still helping and reaching out to the individual so He could help people. He went about doing good. The simplicity of my sermon is embarrassing this morning, but I'm just sure I want to share with you for a few minutes the thought of He went about doing good. I want to recommend something to everybody here. I want to recommend that we as a church just go about doing good. You say, well, how exactly do you accomplish that? I'm going to make a handful of very simple observations about this thought of a Christian going about doing good. If I could, let me challenge you. Folks, the Christian life, it's really not all about you. It's not. For instance, I want to say, first of all, you ought to look for good to do for others. I know, you say, Pastor, that is so simple. I realize that. But the average Christian does not walk through life looking for good to do for others. The average Christian walks through life trying to figure out what they can get for themselves. Look for good to do for others. What do you mean? On purpose, be searching. Try praying this prayer. Lord, help me today to help the ones Jesus would help if He were walking in my shoes today. What a prayer. You say, well, how often should I pray it? Try every day. Lord, help me today to help the ones Jesus would help if He were walking in my shoes today. You do realize on Monday there was somebody you were to touch. I'm just sure of it. Who'd you touch on Monday? You were just all caught up in you, weren't you? There was somebody you should have done something for. Ever so slight on Tuesday. You were just too busy taking care of, oh, you. I believe that you and I should be on purpose searching. Mrs. Owens and I, we have little things that we do. I would not say that we're good examples of this teaching at all, but we're trying to learn it and we're trying to get it into our lives. I travel and preach, and I've been traveling and preaching a long time and been a lot of places. She and I, every church that we go to, we never go to a church She doesn't walk out the front door of our house with a bag for the pastor's wife, with a gift for the pastor's wife when we arrive. Now, what usually happens is we arrive and they give her a gift, but we didn't go to get. We went to give. And folks, you ought to, every day of your life, you ought to be searching for good to do for other people. I believe there are a whole bunch of Christians that look the other way. I think there are opportunities to be good to someone or do good to someone, and we actually look the other way. Folks, be in a constant search for the opportunity to do good. Every church service, look at what could you do? How could you be good to someone every day, everywhere, anytime? Let me tell you something. When you're busy, you know, when you're busy, you still need to be trying to do good. Be in a constant search of ways to touch lives. Even at church, if you rush in and rush out, do you realize you're never going to see the needs of other people? There are people that have needs. Well, if God would bring somebody across my path, man, you're in such a hurry, you don't really cross a whole lot of paths. Be in a search for the needs of people. And so I say, first of all, look for good to do for others. Then, my second point is this: learn from the example of others about doing good to people. Learn from the example of others. Folks, if you want to learn in life, learn from givers. Learn from givers. I'll tell you where you make a mistake. If you learn from takers. You learn from takers, you'll become a taker, but Christians are givers. May I recommend to you that you learn from people that love? Don't learn from people that hate. Don't learn from people that ignore the rest of the world. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I've got to tell you again, God did not save you to set. God saved you to serve. God could have saved you and took you to heaven. He left you behind for a reason. It wasn't to make money. It wasn't to become famous. He left you behind. You say, to do what? To go about doing good. I was at the grocery store not many days ago, and while I was there, there was the person in front of me. They were dressed. They didn't have nice clothing at all. And they had put some things up on the conveyor belt there, and the lady that was behind the cash register, I think, was starting to get just a little irritated with the lady that was making her purchase. The lady making the purchase, she kept saying to the lady at the cash register, she said, "How much have I spent?" And she'd interrupt her after she rang up another item or two, and she would say, "How much have I spent?" I got to tell you, my heart was just breaking. Because she was getting ready to say, stop. That's all I can take. And so, the moment came. And she said, okay, stop. And then she was going to say to the lady at behind the, you know, at the register, I'm going to give you these things so you can put them back on the shelf. And the lady behind the register was now very irritated with her. And I thought, why would you be irritated? She can't even afford to buy the food that's in her basket. And I said to the lady at the register, I said, "Ma'am, listen, we're just going to ring all the rest of this up, and I'm going to pay for it. Matter of fact, I'm going to pay for the whole order." And the lady looked back at me. She said, "Oh, sir, you don't have to do that." I said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do." She said, "Why?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm a Christian. And what you have here, it's just food. I want you to have it." I found out that she was a saved lady. Let me tell you something, folks. What were you like the last time you were at the grocery store? Oh, you got all your stuff, right? All your favorites, and had plenty of money. What did you have to take back? Have any time for anybody? Are you just irritated with the people in line? And listen, I understand humanity, and I understand the busyness of life, but could I say to everybody in here, I wonder if we've lost one of the primary purposes of Christianity, and it is go to a very negative, nasty world and show them the goodness of Jesus Christ. And he went about doing good. Oh, could I recommend to you that you look for good to do for others, and you learn from the example of those that do good. Learn from people who express care, and listen to this very carefully. Learn from people who express care, not just feel it. I'm so tired of this feeling Christianity. I feel this, I feel that. Well, if you feel it, then show it. If you feel it, do something about it. Oh, I feel for you. Why, you got a wallet full of money and you're feeling for somebody that doesn't have enough money to do what they need to do. You feel for them. Well, you really impress me. You really feel it'll move you to stick your hand in your wallet and buy somebody a cheeseburger or buy somebody a pair of shoes. Feeling. You have to forgive me. I don't have a whole lot of patience with a feeling religion that does not produce something that's real. Everybody, you know, feelings don't cost you anything. Anybody can go around and say, I love, I love, I love. Well, put your love where your mouth is. I think you ought to look for good to do for others and then learn from those who set an example about helping others. Hey, examine the good deeds of others. I was talking with a young man the other day, and he said, I'm not real good at certain things. I said, I tell you what I would do. I would find people that are good at those things and mimic their goodness, and you'll figure it out. I'm glad in my lifetime I've been around some people who went about doing good. I got to tell you, there are times I watch somebody do good, and I'd say, I can do that. I can do that very thing. I'm just going to do what they did. Well, that's what the Christian life is. I think I ought to look for good to do for others. I think I ought to learn from those that set an example about doing good. Folks, could I recommend this? Could I recommend that we listen for when things are not going well for others? You say, why? Give you a chance to do good for others. Listen. You look, you learn, and now let's listen. Listen for when something's not going well for others. Why? Well, I don't want you just to feel bad for them. There's that feeling again. Well, I feel bad for you. Well, look, if you feel bad for someone and you have a way to help them, why don't you help them if you feel bad? Hey, if somebody's having a rough day, listen. Not in an effort to be critical. I don't want you to be critical. I want you to look down on somebody. But if you're listening and somebody's having a rough day, you might be able to help them. Their bad day could be your chance to do good. Do good. Listen to what people say, hoping to hear a way you can help. Folks, listen to prayer requests with the plan to pray. And plan to pay. I'm going to pray. Well, good for you. By the way, I believe in prayer. I'm going to tell you, there's some people, I'll tell you what I do, I'd pray. But wait a minute. Is there something you could help with? I'll pray. It's a spiritual thing. You stingy, self-centered Christian. And just so you know, I'm all for you praying. In fact, I'd like to know how much you did pray today. Most people's entire prayer life is all about themselves. What I want, what I need, what I can have, my burden, my health, my money, my everything about me, 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 me. What can I get out of this? What I need, I've got to be happy. So most people are busy praying for themselves, and if they just happen to say a prayer for someone else, I'm glad that you did, but when you had the wherewithal to help, well, what'd be wrong with that? So I think you ought to be looking for good to do and then learning from those that do good and then listening for the opportunity to do it. Listen for testimonies You know, people give testimony about a moment of struggle or a need, and I don't think they do it to advertise their need, but boy, could God use that to touch your heart to where you could make a difference. Somebody's bad day could be God testing your desire to do good. Wouldn't it be sad if somebody had a bad day because God was hoping that you would pick up on it and make a difference in their life, and you didn't, so their bad day was wasted on your lack of character as a Christian and your lack of concern as a Christian? Look for good. Learn from those that do good. Listen for the opportunity and need of people. Let me tell you this, and I'll recommend something. I can help some of you with your depression. When things are not going well for you, go help someone else to have a good day. Say, well, how's that going to help me? Just do it. You'll see. Keep your eyes off yourself. Keep your heart and your mind busy the way Jesus did. He went about doing good. I think a good way for you and I to survive our bad day is to do good for somebody else that may be having a bad day. If you got your eyes off yourself onto somebody else's burden, you may find yourself being able to handle your own burden better. And I'll tell you this, you take your eyes off of your burden and you go meet the need of someone else, you go help someone else. Do you know that God will take care of your burden while you're taking care of somebody else's? I would much rather have God handling mine than me handling mine. Hey, and I'd much rather handle yours than handle mine. When things are not going well for you, go do good for someone else. Now look, you say, Pastor, I had a rough week last week. Or, well, let's say tomorrow, it's Monday, and tomorrow seems to be a rough day. Let me tell you, if you'd let church affect you, If I'd not be like a television show where you roll in, turn it on, turn it off, and it doesn't change your life, it'd be a wonderful thing. What happens tomorrow when you're having a really rough day? Why don't you immediately say, you know what, it may not be going real well for me today, but I'm going to help somebody, and I'm going to make a difference in somebody else's life. I might not be having a real good day, but I'll help somebody else have a good day. That sounds almost like Christianity, doesn't it? You can good deed your way out of depression. Most depressed people are so introspective. They just constantly look at me, my finances, and my money, and my relationships, and me, and me, and me, and me. And you get in this dark hole that you dig for yourself. Hey, go help somebody. Go help somebody. Make life better for somebody else. You see, look for good to do for others. Learn from those that do good for others. Listen for the opportunity. Listen for the testimony. Listen for the prayer request. Listen for that moment where you say, oh my, I think I could help in that one little area right there. And then when you're having a bad day, go help somebody so they don't have a bad day. You say, why? Because Jesus went about doing good. Not only that, when you're having a great day, go do good for others. Well, this is the exact opposite of what you just said. I know, but you're supposed to do this all the time. Well, when I'm having a great day, I ought to be doing good. Why, sure. Remember who it is that helped you to have a good day and go do something good for somebody in honor of the one that gave you a good day. Be good to others in your time of prosperity. God's sure been good to you. Make your good day even better by going about doing good. Hey, when God blesses you real big, could I recommend something? When God blesses you real big and something real good comes your way and everything's just going great, why don't you decide to do something good for somebody? Say, boy, God, everything you brought my way, wow, this is incredible. Is it possible God bless you real good? There's somebody else that could use a little blessing. Share your blessings. Share them. I had so much fun. How many of you got to hear Brother Dunn's sermon on Get Your Own Box? I can't tell you how many boxes of Cheez-Its I've given away. My wife, he preached a sermon about get your own box of Cheez-Its. I went down the store and I bought a case of big Cheez-Its. I've been going around handing them to people. Say, what? I seen an opportunity to encourage someone. Seen an opportunity to try to be good to someone. Boy, folks, is that not the Christian life? Is that not what Jesus was? I mean, look everywhere he went. And it wasn't a put on. Everywhere Jesus went, he just went around saying, well, there's a need, let me take care of that. Oh, you're blind, let me take care of that. Oh, you can't walk here, let me take care of that. Oh, you're on your way to hell here, let me take care of that. Having a rough day here, let me take care of that. You need some food here, let me take care of that. Why did he do that? He's God! And God in heaven gave you everything you eat and every stitch of clothing you have on. And God all day long, every day, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, every minute of the day is doing nothing but meeting your need. And Jesus was simply on this earth reproducing what he seen the Father do in heaven. That's what Christians are. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, and we're to be different than this world. And it's not all about me and mine. It's not all about me and what I want and what I need. A Christian, it's all about other people. So when things are going well, go find somebody and be good to them. I've got two more simple points and we'll be done. May I suggest that you learn to read people's needs. Learn to read people's needs. Become a need reader. Are you a need reader? You said, yes, Pastor, I am. I read all my own needs. And that's the average person in Christianity today. They're good at reading their own needs. When was the last time you were flat on your face before God and begged Him for something for somebody else? When was the last time you were so passionate about somebody else's need? Well, you can get passionate about your own, because that's pretty important to you. But Jesus went about doing good to others. Learn to read people's needs. You say, how? It's easy. Watch their kids. If their kids need something, there's opportunity there. Watch their shoes. Watch their clothing. Now, if you're a critical, snoopy person, then you might not be able to handle this, but you can look at someone and say, I see need. I guess I don't understand Christians. How do you walk through life and not see it? Sometimes I'm just devastated a few hours into my day and I'm thinking, everywhere I go, I just look at people and I say, boy, he needs this and she needs that. And I don't get it. What's wrong with us? Are you looking for those needs? You desire to be a need filler? Learn to read needs. Watch that vehicle. Watch those children. Watch. Ask God to teach you to read the needs of others and how then to appropriately meet the need. You don't have to take credit for the need. Matter of fact, you're better off not. Just meet the need. Become a need filler. Learn people's likes. And then use that to encourage them. Take notes. You know, it's not real hard to read hunger or poverty or discouragement. Can't we read that? I've got to get finished. I want to give you another point. Everybody needs encouragement. Now, encouragement doesn't cost money. Because there are people in here right now, you say, well, I don't have any money, so I can't help anybody. Oh, fooey on that. You live in America. just don't buy yourself as much stuff. But encouragement doesn't cost anything. You don't have money? You can give encouragement. Hey, is your attitude, does it help other people have a better attitude? Does your kindness, is it obvious? Hey, it doesn't cost anything to have a good attitude. Doesn't cost anything to be kind. Doesn't cost anything to be friendly. Doesn't cost anything to have joy. Doesn't cost anything to be positive. Doesn't cost anything to smile. Doesn't cost anything to laugh. Doesn't cost anything to make somebody else laugh. Didn't cost anything to make somebody else feel good. Not at all. Let me tell you something. If you ever get around somebody, and you know they're fishing for a compliment, can I recommend something? Give it to them. You say, but they were fishing. I know, but what's it hurt you? Man, she's got a new dress, and she's just waiting for you to say, nice new dress. Then tell her. Didn't cost you anything. You say, well, I wonder if I don't like the dress. Just ask, is that a new dress? That'll take it the rest of the way on its own. You don't have to say you like it. And men, don't ever answer the question, does this make me look fat? Never. You have security of the believer? Lie before you answer that question. Hey, if you think somebody's fishing for a compliment, you know what? It may mean they need somebody to encourage them. I'll make you a promise, if you're a member of my church and you need encouragement, you got it. You come see me. We'll figure out a way. We'll figure out how there can be some sunshine in the dark day. Boy, everybody needs it. People need praise. I was at a hotel the other day. I was walking down the hallway and a lady was just cleaning her heart out. And I walked by, I stopped and I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell them to double your pay. She said, sir, would you? I said, with an attitude like that, triple it. She said, why, thank you. I said, sure. She's just smiling and laughing. She thought, you know, she's probably lonely, underpaid, trying to figure out a way to feed her kids. Clean up other people's bathrooms. And I thought, I'd just like to give a little light in that moment of her day. Folks, it doesn't cost you anything to encourage people. I was at Walmart the other day and there was a guy working and he was stalking the shelves. And he was working diligently. I stopped and I said, man, are you a hard worker? I said, you're probably going to own this place someday. He said, you think so? I said, sure. Remember me when you're rich and famous. He said, why, thank you. I'm always worried about the tithe, of course. So, listen, folks, this world is full of anger and hate, self-absorbed people, stinginess, rudeness. I could have preached on any topic under the sun today. But God very specifically said, just remind everybody of what Jesus was and is. Peter, give us a testimony of what you've seen in Jesus Christ. And Peter said, well, he just went about doing good. And I'll tell you, you give me a church full of people who just go about doing good, and that's almost unstoppable. What is Christianity? For a saved person, you need to go about doing good. Hey, can I tell you something? If you'll do good unto others, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. To everybody, slow down just a little. Look around you and learn about doing good for others. Some of you need to do it at work. You need to do it down at the store. Some of you need to do it at church. There are people in here who have been members of the church for a long time. Do you know of anybody's need in this church? Anybody? You say, well, no, I don't. How could you go to a church with this many people this long and not know of any need? None? I think you might be living in a little vacuum of all your own, huh? Let us go about doing good. Jesus Christ died for you. He made salvation available for you. And the greatest good done by God for man is making salvation available. If you're here today and you've never been born again, let me tell you, I'd get saved. That is the greatness of our good God and His grace made available to you through the thing called salvation. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're a guest today in our church, we're old-time religion. We believe in being different than the world and living holy and living right. But we also believe the great God of the universe is a God of love. He wants to make a difference in this nasty world. Who here today would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me, preacher. And I will. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I died today, I'd go to heaven. Who here could give testimony to the fact you say I am saved? If I died today, I know I would. I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to lie to God. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. Lots of hands raised. You may put those down. Christian, let's go about doing good. Who here would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. He told me I needed this sermon. I need not just to listen to it, but I need to act upon it. God has spoken to my heart about this life of going about and doing good. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? Lots of hands. We're going to have a time of altar call. I believe there's some of you need to come down here and get on your knees and say, God, forgive me for being so self-absorbed. God, forgive me that I'm not watching for the needs of others. God, forgive me. Help me to learn it. Help me to follow the examples of others. God, I had a bad day the other day and I could have made it better, but I didn't. I made it worse. I could have helped somebody, but I just felt sorry for myself. Hey, do you need the altar for a moment? Maybe somebody in here, you say, I have a friend. I have somebody that's in need. Won't you, instead of coming to the altar to beg God for something for yourself, won't you come to the altar and beg God for something for somebody else? I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar, Christian? Do you need to come and pray? Do you need to come and say, God, help me? I need to get my eyes off myself. Preacher, tell me about Jesus. Well, he went about doing good. He was looking. He was learning. He was watching. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Yes, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I may live like thee. And he went about doing good. Spend your time irritated with everybody at work. And boy, I understand we live in a very difficult, rough world, but let me ask you this. Do you go about work seeking to do good? See, I was irritated at the store the other day. Well, did you go to the store with the intent of going about doing good? Boy, while you're at church, look around. Figure it out. Beg God to give you the clarity of who needs what and how you could help. And I'm not against your compassion. I'm not against you say, I feel for them. But let me tell you something. Add feet to your prayers. When you can help, and it never costs anybody something to smile and give someone a friendly handshake and to encourage them. Feel it, sure, but let your feeling kick into motion. altar is open, you take your time. As a piano continues to pray, I have a friend that had a need and I could not meet that need. I've been praying with that friend about that particular need. I could not believe it. This last week, someone came and said, Hey, preacher, I have something that might help someone. And I said, that's exactly what my friend needs. One more time through the song, please. Won't be long, we'll be on our way. If you come to church just to get the responsibility off your responsibility list, a sermon like this won't do you a lot of good. But if you came today to hear from heaven, if you wanted God to reach down from the portals of heaven and squeeze your heart and make a difference in your life, He did it if you let Him. Thank you, Rachel.